America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Right now at the Home Depot, shop Spring Black Friday savings and get up to 40% off, plus up to $500 off select appliances from top brands like Samsung. Get a fridge with zero clearance hinges, so the doors open fully even in tighter spaces in your kitchen. And laundry that saves you time, like an all-in-one washer dryer that can run a full load in just 68 minutes. Shop Spring Black Friday savings, plus get free delivery on appliance purchases of $998 or more at the Home Depot. Offer valid April 9th through April 29th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
K-pop demon hunters Haja Boy's breakfast meal and Huntrix meal have just dropped at McDonald's. They're calling this a battle for the fans. What do you say to that, Rumi?
It's not a battle. So glad the Haja Boys could take breakfast and give our meal the rest of the day.
It is an honor to share.
No, it's our honor.
It is our larger honor.
No, really. Stop.
You can really feel the respect in this battle. Pick a meal to pick a side.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's while supplies last.
Now let's get to the pitching, specifically Mendy's decision and the defense in that seventh inning. Nolan McLain was great. This was a different Nolan McLain than his last start. He was sharper. He threw more strikes. He didn't fall behind hitters the way he did in his last start. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't flawless. But in 45-degree weather, what do you expect? Bottom line was, Nolan McLain, through the first six innings of this game, was outstanding. So he ends the sixth by striking out Vargas. And I've said this a few times here on the Rico. It's kind of a new tell I've picked up on with pitchers. When they jump off the mound, where they react in this emotional way, maybe a primal scream, you wonder, is that their way of telling you they're done? McLain, when he struck out Vargas, sort of gave you a primal screen, sort of, not fully. He sort of gave you a dance off the mound, not fully. But he was excited, to say the least. There was enthusiasm from Nolan McLain as he pranced off the mound. But his pitch count was 85. And I absolutely thought, boy, if he has something left, and I hope he does, I know it's a cold night, he's got to come out for the seventh inning, especially nursing a 1-0 lead. Now, the good news is you knew they had a fully fresh bullpen because of the work Sean Manaea did the day before. Sean Manaea ate a bunch of innings in a game that the Mets were never coming back in. I wish they did, but it was smart. And we've talked about this on the Rico, that when Manaea gets into a game, or even sometimes Tobias Myers gets into a game, take advantage of it. Don't have that guy come out after an inning or two and use another reliever. So you had an absolutely fresh bullpen knowing, all right, McLain's going to start the seventh, 9 outs away from a victory. Now, Nolan McLain did a huge mistake. He only walked 2 guys in this game. Walking Perdomo to begin the seventh inning, not good. He gets a big strike out of Del Castillo. And then against Jose Fernandez, he gives up like a bloop hit to center field. When he gives up the bloop hit to center field, that's a check on your guy kind of moment. That's a Mendy, and I'm trying to remember if they had used a mound visit at this point. I doubt they did, you know, unless there was a mound visit after the leadoff walk to Perdomo, but I don't think there was. That's the moment that Mendy should go out there. Put his arm on McLain, not take him out, but kind of read the situation. Because it was a bloop hit. He had 2 strikes on Fernandez, and his pitch count is an even 100. It's early in the season. I understand that. And that's why I'm going out there and I'm checking on him. I'm not immediately taking him out of the game. I didn't love immediately taking him out of the game. Nolan McLain has fight in him. So I would have been more than happy to have McLain say, give me one more hitter. What I find to be such a contradiction with managers, and we'll use Carlos Mendoza specifically, is the handling of Freddy Peralta 2 days earlier. Freddy Peralta threw one more pitch than Nolan McClain. He got to 101. But he did it over 4 2/3 innings, not 6 1/3. And yet, it's like they're more restrictive when you spread it out over a longer period of time. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't fully get it. You're okay with Peralta at 101 in 4 2/3 innings, but Nolan McClain at 100 through 6 1/3 innings, we got to get him out of there. Now, you do have a fresh bullpen, as we pointed out, and you do have a bullpen that has been really good. The back end of it has been really good. So I didn't think this was an egregious move, but I wanted there to be more, let me check on my guy, let me look at his eyes, and let me see how he feels. We saw Mendy do that a lot in 24 and sometimes in 25, which is not immediately take a pitcher out, but have that, let me take a look. I think he did that with Jose Quintana once or twice in 2024. I don't know why that specific moment or player jumps out at me. But once you take Nolan McClain out of the game with 2 on and 1 out, this is on Luke Weaver to do the freaking job. That's what it is. It's on Luke Weaver to go out and do the freaking job. And he gives up to Gabby Moreno a fly ball to right field. Here's where we're going to fight. Here's where, I just know it. This is where we're going to get a little Rico Civil War going on. I don't think that was an egregious play by Brett Beatty. I don't. Like, if you have a Gold Glove right fielder, which the Mets don't, is it possible that that player makes a really good running catch in right field? Sure. I'm not telling you it's an impossible catch. But to put that ball on Brett Beatty, I think is unfair. And so I was live at the game at this moment. I enjoyed my wife's birthday. We had cake. We ate dinner. I started the game about 25 minutes late. I was all caught up by this time in the seventh inning. And the reason I say that I was caught up is because I needed to know the catch percentage. That's like one of those newer age stats, like the percentage that ball should be caught. Because my gut told me that's a tough play. Now, it seems like most people on social media, because I made the mistake of seeing the reaction on social media, was Brett Beatty's a butcher. Brett Beatty's a schmuck. Brett Beatty is the worst right fielder of all time. My eyes told me that's a tricky play. So the only thing I could find, because I couldn't find the catch percentage, but I was on Baseball Savant, and I saw the expected batting average, which I guess is the same thing, but the expected batting average was about like 560, something of that nature. So it was a tough play. If Carson Benj is the right fielder, and he's a right fielder, does he make that catch? If Juan Soto was healthy and playing right field like he did last year, does he make that catch? I don't think the answer is yes to those questions. Gabriel Moreno hit a ball to the wall against Luke Weaver that in four ballparks, including Yankee Stadium, would have been a home run. It bounced off the warning track. I know it didn't look good because Beatty missed it, and then the ball bounced away from him, so it probably didn't aesthetically look good, but I cannot put that on Brett Beatty. And here's what I think is going on right now. And I promise you, I'm not going out of my way to defend him or rip him or do anything. I'm not going out of my way to do anything other than just to tell you how I honestly saw something. But I think that right now, especially in the midst of a 2-game losing streak, in the midst of losing a series to Arizona, in the midst of the offense doing nothing, the Met fan hates David Stearns. And so run prevention has become a mocking line. Now, let's ignore the fact that SNY put up a stat in this game that said the Mets have been the second best team in preventing runs from being scored, or I guess defensive runs saved. But let's ignore that. Let's go to the fact that Brett Beatty isn't a right fielder, which he isn't yet. He's still learning the position, and he damn effed up. Even if he didn't damn eff up, even if Luke Weaver is the one who effed up by giving up a ball that bounced off the warning track in right field. Because that's what happened. Now let's continue on with this because it's funny how that works. The next batter, Alec Thomas, hits a ground ball to Mark Vientos. And trust me, I'm in no mood to defend Mark Vientos. He was crap in this series. And while he made a bad throw home, there wasn't anything he could do, nothing that he could have done that was going to turn that ball when you've got the runner moving on contact. There was nothing he was going to do to throw that base runner out. Not a damn thing. So we could play up the defensive card. And they did it on the broadcast. I disagreed with that. I think Ron said, yeah, bad defensive inning. I mean, I'm not saying it was a great defensive inning, but I don't think anything would have changed. Like, it was going to take a great play in right field for the Moreno ball not to fall. And on the Vientos play, yeah, it was a crappy throw, but the jump that the base runner got off third base, I think it was Jose Fernandez, was so good, he wasn't throwing him out. It was a very smart, hey, let's run on contact, which you should do. And Vientos was playing deep enough where even when he fields that baseball, like he's not throwing the base runner out. So I get it. I'm not in a good mood either. I don't like seeing the Mets lose. I'm annoyed. But I'm annoyed at the offense. I can't look at those two plays because they feature guys who are out of position or they feature guys that maybe you're sick of and say, that screwed up the game. No, Luke Weaver screwed up the game. Because Luke Weaver is the one who gave up an RBI double that is not an easy play. Luke Weaver could have gotten Alec Thomas to strike out or pop up in the infield, but he had a ground ball to first base. When he gets ahead of Tim Tawa 0-2, he could strike him out instead of giving up a sacrifice fly. He also doesn't have to give up an RBI triple to Jorge Barroza. Doesn't have to do that. We call it like it is. Luke Weaver sucked in this game. Now, he's been good so far. I think he's still in the circle of trust. You don't get eliminated from the circle of trust from one bad game. But this was a bad game. And it was made worse by the fact that giving up 4 runs in the 7th inning felt like giving up 12 runs because the offense is doing nothing. Because the LD offense was especially L. And Luis Garcia is what he is. He's the Ryan Static of 2026. He comes into a 4-1 game. The game shouldn't be over at 4-1. And he lit fluid on the game. I mean, he was awful. Gives up a leadoff double, walks a hitter, gives up an RBI double. I mean, before you could look up, this is 5-1. It's 6-1. And then finally, it's 7-1. And this is a complete loss cause. And it sucks because Nolan McClain was so good. And the positive, and there is a positive, you can find them. They're not that difficult sometimes, is that Nolan McClain's a stud. And I think our confidence and our belief in Nolan McClain, it's only been 3 starts, but it's only been before that 8 starts. So it's still a small amount of samples from him. But the samples are in that he's got a chance to be awesome. He's got a chance to be great, dare I say. And I think what we saw in this start was similar to that. Like, he continued to show the promise of what we think he can be.